Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, October 25th, and a chance to get to 4-0 tonight at home for the Detroit Pistons. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen, and what's up to the new listeners out there? Appreciate you coming on board this season. I also appreciate the regulars who are out there spreading the word, the gospel of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Looking forward to having you guys throughout this entire 2018-2019 season. I think that's what year it is. It's hard to keep track when you get to my age. But today we're going to be talking about Andre Drummond and his feud with Joel Embiid. It's getting all sorts of national play on the airwaves and also the TV on Wednesday. The flops, the Twitter, the social media, all that great stuff that we love about the NBA. We're also going to hear from Dwayne Casey on Andre Drummond as well, as the coach talked about how Andre may have lost his cool. Well, definitely not. Definitely may have lost his cool on Tuesday night. Not may have, but we're also going to look ahead to tonight's game against the Cleveland Cavaliers as the Pistons have a divisional opponent in town for a 7 p.m. game. And then we're going to close the show with a little bit of a listener feedback that we've been getting lately and been neglecting a little bit with all the games and all the busyness that the beginning of the season has brung. But give me a follow, by the way, on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. That's one way to reach out and give me some of the listener feedback. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And then give us a like on Facebook, like the Facebook page, join the conversation there as well at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Appreciate all you guys that reach out in addition to listening and like I said, spreading the word. Give us the retweets, give us the follow on your wall on Facebook. I couldn't think of it. Your Facebook wall. I'm tired. It's been a long few days for the Shookster, so I appreciate your patience as we work through this. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Then your company could be mentioned right now here on Locked On Pistons by your boy Matt. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite podcasts. Our demographic is 98% males with more education and earning power than your traditional media audiences. You guys know that. You get the big bucks out there. So have your company sponsor this podcast, Locked On Pistons, and email me at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. We will have great packages available the beginning of the season if you want to stick with us all year, whatever kind of size package that your company desires if you want to reach that key demographic of men with money to spend. But by the way, speaking of men with money to spend, the Pistons got a 133-132 win on Tuesday night in overtime against the Philadelphia 76ers, who were Ben Simmons-less in this game. Worth remembering that as we go forward. Now the Pistons will play host to the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight, Thursday night, and then home again on 7 o'clock on Saturday night for what should be a fun one against the Boston Celtics. I will be at all of these games this week for the Associated Press. And then Detroit says the second half of that home-and-home on Tuesday night with the Boston Celtics in Beantown, and then the second half of a back-to-back on Wednesday night in Brooklyn. So a lot of familiar teams that the Pistons have been seeing early on in the season. Andre Drummond in that game on Tuesday night, the lightning rod of controversy, I guess pretty much not much controversy, but between the fan base, it's all pretty much decided that he did a lot of things wrong in that game and really got kind of screwed over at the very end, getting tossed out of that game. But he did finish with 14 points and 16 rebounds, which sounds kind of good in terms of counting numbers. He achieved that in 36 minutes, but it just wasn't a good game for him at all. 6 of 20 from the field, 5 turnovers from him as well, and got tossed after his second technical foul in the final minute of regulation that almost did its part for losing the game for the Detroit Pistons against the 76ers. But first, before we get my thoughts on what Andre Drummond did and how it's all kind of going for him so far this season, here's from Wednesday afternoon at practice. Dwayne Casey today had this to say about Andre Drummond and his performance on Tuesday and also going forward.
You mentioned it last night after the game, but did you have a message specifically for Andre about maybe keeping his cool, I guess, when things get tough today?
Andre's a young man. He is a competitor. I thought the flop was a flop. I mean, it was clearly on video watching it after the game. I sent it in to the league, so Hopefully they saw it the same way. You know, again, one thing a bully will try to do is try to goat you into different behavior, and you got to be above it. And Andre has done a heck of a job this year of staying composed, playing within himself. You know, but again, he's such a competitor. I thought the moment got a little bit of him, and we talked about it after the game, and no big deal. He's just got to learn, continue to grow, as we all do, all of us. You know, we still have to grow up, and I catch myself getting too caught up with the officiating.
I asked you yesterday about it. Did you have to talk to him about being focused up into him versus Embiid? Mm-hmm. And I guess my point is, though, is because of his youth sometimes, that sometimes players forget that.
They do.
The emotion of the game.
No question. You get caught up in the game, and it's really Detroit Pistons versus Philadelphia 76ers. It's not Ish Smith versus McConnell or Ish Smith versus J.J. Redick. It's our team versus their team. And, okay, he made a couple points, or whoever. J.J. Redick made a couple baskets. It's not the end of the world. We still have to compete. And, you know, again, being a young team, young mentality, you get caught up in those moments every once in a while. We just got to cut down on
them. I thought it was interesting. I think it was early the fourth quarter when I think Dre picked up a foul. You pulled him aside, and then you let him brought in Zaza to take a cooler. Just
right.
As a
cool
new
him
coach,
down a little bit. Yeah.
Continuing to build relationships. Right. That seemed like a big step.
Well, it is. Well, you know, not for me. It's
well, not,
more
yeah.
for him.
Yeah,
right?
For him.
Because I'm going to do what's best for the team, right. Whether the guy's helping us or hurting us or playing well. But I thought he just needed a blow just to kind of relax his mind, clear his head a little bit. And I thought he came back in with a better approach. But I'm always going to do that, whether it's Blake Griffin or Ish Smith. If a guy, you know, is struggling, whatever, frustrated, you know, we can't let him hurt the team by staying out there. We got to get a fresh body in, a fresh – and let a guy – and it's not that he's going to be out the whole time. We'll get back in and, just a minute to clear.
Yes, sir!
And before the break, that was Dwayne Casey talking about Andre Drummond. I also have some thoughts about it. I thought the first technical foul was pretty alarming. It was during that wild 3-minute span at the end of the third quarter where Andre Drummond just looked a little bit unhinged. He was obviously getting baited by Joel Embiid, who after the game said he owns some real estate inside Andre Drummond's head, and it's hard to disagree with that, especially watching the end of that third quarter kind of transpire. He went aggressively at an offensive rebound that he really had no chance for, ended up picking a dumb foul, and then got the technical foul for arguing with it, even if it was just for a quick second. I thought it was a pretty quick technical foul, but one that would kind of been bubbling for a couple of minutes there for Andre Drummond. Even Chris Herring of 538.com, a friend of the podcast, what's up to Chris? But he responded to me on Twitter and said that, you know, just a pretty strange couple minutes there from Andre Drummond, just all out of sorts, it seemed like, was forcing a couple shots. Like we said, a 6-for-20 outing from the field, missing at the rim a few times. And then as we all kind of agree, I would imagine, especially listeners for the Locked On Pistons podcast, thought the ejection was a bad call, the second technical. Joel flopped on that one. Hit the deck, but after he just getting touched barely, and then Dre for some reason that kind of lost on the replay was that he barely touched Joel. Joel goes down, and for some reason Dre then actually did follow through with an elbow, elbowing the air, not elbowing anything in particular. Almost like, hey, you know, if this guy's falling, I got to make it at least look like I did hit him. But it very clearly did not hit him with the elbow. Joel was already on the ground. But just a very weird sequence from both of those guys, pretty much intentional from Embiid. And then when it became clear, you know, Joel got up to the corner and started taunting the fans, saying that they got to get him out of here, kick Andre out of the game, which is just what they did. And it was strange. I thought that would have been one of those things that maybe they could have reviewed as far as a flagrant. But since it was called a technical foul, they didn't review it, and would have shown, as the league office proved on Wednesday, it would have shown that it was certainly not worthy of a technical foul. As the league office did rescind that technical foul, Andre Drummond will not be fined $2,000 for the second technical foul, although the first one still stands. And we know from the Rasheed Wallace days that if you get 16 technical fouls throughout an NBA season, you will be suspended for one game. And I believe it's 7 technical fouls throughout an entire playoff season as well, which is something that came up with Draymond Green recently too. So knock one off the list for Andre Drummond going forward. But just I thought that play really kind of encapsulates Andre for some reason, for sometimes, especially when he's at his worst, with some of the slow reactions that he had with that phantom elbow that he threw that hit nobody. Which I really kind of impacts his stuff around the basket sometimes, and some of the quick decision making. We saw the 5 turnovers on Tuesday night as well, in a game where it was attractive offensive basketball, not a lot of defense played, but Andre Drummond was the one who committed 5 turnovers of the 19 total turnovers in the entire game, so more than 25% from one player out there. And what was telling about Dre's stat line, 14 points and 16 rebounds, is some of those baskets came late for him, and Blake ended up getting him a couple of easy baskets as well, which is even more incredible about Blake's 50-point game, that he was doing a little bit of facilitating too, not only going nuts himself on the offensive end, but also boosting the confidence of Dre along the way, getting him a couple dunks late, wide open after a nice drop-offs on drives from Blake. Andre Drummond, and we're going to be talking about this as long as it keeps going on, another early 3-pointer missed by him. He missed that one, which was open in the first quarter by about a foot and a half, slammed off the backboard. I thought it might have been breaking the backboard, but it didn't break the backboard, but just threw up something less than a brick there, and also missed a second 3-pointer, but that was like one of those half-court heaves, so hard to hold that one against him, really. But 1 for 7 from 3-point land so far this year after knocking down the 1 in the fourth quarter against the Brooklyn Nets, a big shot there. So 14.3% for Andre Drummond. Hasn't knocked down any of the mid-range shots either. He's only shot one of them, according to Basketball Reference, and I only remember one off the top of my head, so that's probably accurate. So 0 for 1 from mid-range, which I consider, you know, 16 feet up until the arc is what Basketball Reference uses as that long 2-pointer. Jump shots there. So 1 for 8 if you throw all those together. And again, maybe you can knock off one for being that desperation three-pointer that he threw up there. And I know it's something that you fans are fired up about. A lot of you guys just can't see why Dwayne Casey would let this happen even so early on in the season when it hasn't, you know, necessarily been proven. Although you could argue that 0 for 11 and now 1 in the preseason and 1 for 7 now in the regular season with, again, these aren't Steph Curry in and out misses. These aren't shots that are online that are a little bit short or a little bit long, which is something you can contribute to, you know, strength and fatigue late in games and things like that. You know, when good shooters have bad nights, when you see Klay Thompson getting off to the bad start that he's having right now, he's not just missing shots wide. And of course, it does happen even with the best shooters, but it's not something that with any kind of consistency would happen with a very good shooter. And that's exactly what's happening with Andre Drummond. It's as if they pulled you or I out of the stands and said, you know, if one of those win $1,000 with this long jumper or something like that, and we're out there without practice and just throwing up a 3 in the middle off the stands. And that's how badly some of these misses are looking. And so if you, and I know that, again, Andre Drummond throwing up 1 3-pointer a game and missing it in the first quarter isn't going to be the thing that derails the Pistons' season. I mean, you know, with the assumption that they're not losing every game by 1 point down the stretch in the playoff run or something like that. But it just, you know, speaks to, in some ways, the player's coach that Dwayne Casey is. But and that's a good thing. It can be a good thing. We've seen that with the late Mike Ilitch, how his organizations benefited a lot from the fact that he was a player's owner. And so that's kind of the example I give about how that can be a good thing, the loyalty. You know, he wants Andre Drummond to enjoy playing basketball, wants him to enjoy coming to work, and it's something that obviously he thinks he can add to his game and something that will probably add to his overall enjoyment as a professional basketball player. But we know as Pistons fans that Andre Drummond having a good time out there isn't the most important thing. The most important thing is getting the wins, getting the dubs, and that, you know, shooting those 1 3-pointer a game in the first quarter isn't going to kill this Pistons season, probably. And certainly if this goes on and on and on, and we're talking about a guy who's 3 for 25 or something like that after any normal amount of time, you would think that Dwayne Casey would pull the plug at that point. But again, too early for us to be yelling and screaming about it, probably. Too early for us to be banging our fists against the wall about it. But something that certainly, to an unbiased observer, would certainly say that this is an experiment that's probably not going to work. And certainly something that opposing coaches, I'm sure, are sitting there all the time when they're game planning with their centers saying, if Andre Drummond's throwing up a 3-pointer, that is the best case scenario for our defense. even more so than the long twos that everyone talks about. Dwayne Casey talks about how the opposite of his shot spectrum is for the Pistons defense to be forcing the shots that are bad to the shot spectrum. So you're not letting people score or even get shots up in the paint, and you're not allowing open three-pointers. You're forcing tough shots from a ways away from the basket that aren't three-pointers. But if you're an opposing coach of the Pistons right now, you're saying, screw that. Our first option is Andre Drummond letting it fly from three-point land. So you're going to see a lot of centers sitting halfway into the lane, really, when Andre Drummond gets the ball swung to him, daring him to shoot those wide open threes, and it'll be at least an interesting story to follow going forward for Pistons fans. I would say that through the first three games, Andre has played very poorly overall this season. A couple of guys in the media room at practice, the writers, on Wednesday afternoon, we were talking about this. I brought it up. I said, I think he's playing poorly this season. I don't know if I said the word very poorly, but a couple of the guys said that, you know, he's playing okay. And I disagree with that. I still stand by the fact that he was maybe okay in the first game. I thought his numbers were a lot better than the way he played, but he did finish well around the rim late on both sides of the ball, really making a big play at the very end of the game defensively and finishing very well around the basket in the fourth quarter as Blake Griffin had a couple of those drop-offs. Drummond finished around the basket, throwing down a couple of dunks as well. So credit to him for, like I said, playing okay, maybe slightly above average in that first game. But although he did struggle in the first three quarters or so of that Brooklyn game. I thought in the second game, you know, he fouled out in 24 minutes. He didn't play very well, didn't really make much of an impact at all. Had the big block on Bobby Portis, but wasn't a huge factor in the Pistons winning that game at Chicago. And then Tuesday, he almost cost the team, had an emotional meltdown in the third quarter, and like I said, almost lost the game there against the Philadelphia 76ers while getting dominated by Joel Embiid inside. So to me, it's a D-plus so far for Andre Drummond this season. But let me know, am I missing something? Let me know if you disagree with that and if you think that he's on the verge of something or if he just needs to tweak a few things and he's back to that all-star level. I'm not seeing it so far this year. It's three games into the season, and we believe that Andre will certainly right the ship and have at least a pretty good season by his standards, and we'll see how it all comes together. But up next, we're going to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers, tonight's opponent for the Detroit Pistons, coming in limping into Little Caesars Arena without a win and without a prayer this season as well. Locked On NBA, by the way, never went away and is still here for you every day. Locked On NBA is your daily NBA podcast, national NBA podcast. Every Monday, get the local experts on the biggest stories. Guys like me talking about our teams who are in the thick of things. Maybe I'll get a call this weekend from David Locke if the Pistons are 5-0 going into Monday, and we can talk about why the Pistons are 5-0. But then stay with Locked On NBA, the podcast, all week long with daily 30 minutes on everything going on in the league. Follow for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. We got all sorts of new guests on the national show as well. Sam Amick of The Athletic, you know him from USA Today and all the other outlets that he's written for over the years, and Ben Golliver of Sports Illustrated Good Stuff Daily as well from the Locked On NBA podcast. But Cavaliers coming up next, we're going to talk about that, and some listener feedback is too. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. And as we know, the Detroit Lions will be hosting the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday in NFL action. Matt Derry of Detroit Radio has everything you need to know about the Detroit Lions, including snacks coming to town, the Locked On Lions podcast. Check that one out. You know Matt Derry from the radio. He now has a daily look at your Leos. Check it out on the network, which is the number one local sports daily podcast network, the Locked On Network. So check out Locked On Wolverines and Locked On Spartans as well. A couple of programs going in different directions as the Wolverines getting ready for Penn State, although they have the bye this weekend. And Michigan State, I believe, is playing against Purdue this weekend with a chance to bounce back. But speaking of chances to bounce back, the Cleveland Cavaliers coming to town tonight to Little Caesars Arena. Losers on Wednesday night, 102-86 was the final against the Brooklyn Nets. Your Cleveland Cavaliers are now 0-4 after going 3-of-18 from three-point land in an ugly game. Jetty Osman started off well statistically for the Cavs this season, starting for them now with alongside Kevin Love on the front line. Nothing really doing for him anymore after that really good start. But a guy who's capable of putting up numbers, like I said, in LeBron James' stead, doing not quite a poor man's version, not quite a homeless man's version, but whatever is a little bit more decrepit than a homeless man might be what the version of LeBron James that Jetty Osmond is playing for Tyronn Lue's club right now. A bright spot might be Colin Sexton. We'll probably be seeing that all season for the Cavs in terms of some high potential there. He tied with team high honors, by the way, on Wednesday with 14 points, which is not good when you're tying team high honors with 14 points. Kevin Love, through four games, is getting 19 and 13 per game. Certainly their best player in Cleveland, but, you know, just not the player that he was 5 years ago in Minnesota, and we'll see what kind of season he has as the guy asked to do a lot, asked to carry a lot of the load for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I predict that he will not be back in the All-Star game this year, by the way. However, I do have an early season sports theory that doesn't bode well for the Pistons, although I think this is more of an NFL theory for mine, but hear me out. I think that because of the margin of talent being pretty thin in pro sports, and I'd say less so in the NBA. I think that there's pretty defined maybe tiers of talent, but still a lot of very good players. The three-point shot makes things a lot more of a guessing game with basketball out there. But sometimes I really think it's those desperate teams that have an advantage, especially in early season contests where a little bit of effort here and a little bit of effort there, a little bit more focus here, a little bit more focus there might be the difference in a win or a loss. So obviously you got an 0-4 Cavs team coming in, certainly more desperate than the 3-0 Pistons, who have been hearing how good they are for a couple days, especially Blake Griffin. And we expect Blake Griffin's good play to continue more so than complacency or belief in his stat line or the press clippings or anything like that at this point in his career. But we'll see how that goes. The Cavs certainly are a team that can get hot from three, talking about guys like J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver. Really, that's kind of it. Kevin Love can knock down the threes too, but certainly not the Golden State Warriors or anything like that. The remnants after LeBron left town are just not pretty. I remember there's a lot of you all who said that the Cavs were taking third over Detroit in the Central. I got a bet with my buddy listener Jason, who thinks that the Cavs are going to win more games than the Pistons this year. And again, a couple injuries for the Pistons, and I won't be laughing because that will become a reality at really quickly. But holy moly, and I know we don't overreact through 3 and 4 games of the season, but that pick is not looking great there, Bob. But anyways, according to Vegas in this one, the Pistons are 7-point favorites at home. Cavs on the back-to-back, certainly a part of that as well. I didn't understand it at all when people were saying the Cavs were right up there with the Pistons or a team that could compete for a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. I had a tough time myself picking between Chicago and Cleveland for last place in the Central Division. Not that it really matters at that point, but certainly didn't see Detroit falling into that conversation. And we don't want to get too overconfident as Pistons fans with the two wins over some scrub teams and then barely getting an overtime win against a team without their 1A second-best player against the Philadelphia 76ers. But certainly a good start for the Pistons and not so much for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And no Tristan Thompson, the East does not go through the land anymore. But I got some listeners' comments for you. We're going to start here with a voicemail from my guy, Breeshin.
Hey, Matt. This is Breeshin out here in Philly. But I'm a Wayne State graduate, and I grew up lived most of my life in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And that's important because I want to talk to you about the college rivalry thing you're talking about with Harbaugh. And I didn't watch the game. I saw some highlights, but I know that complaint because in Kalamazoo, you got just as many Chicago fans as you do Detroit fans in terms of basketball, especially with all the rich cats in their lake property in South Haven, you know. So what they're saying is that the Pistons, specifically the Bad Boys, are that dirty, physical, bully type of team, but will flop and whine and complain on the other end. I heard that complaint all the time, and they're talking, if you talk to these guys, they're talking about Lambeer. Lambeer's reputation outside of Detroit and into the sticks of Michigan and into the country is that of being a dirty, aggressive player, but one of the biggest floppers. And so I hear Harbaugh say that, especially since he grew up in L.A. I hear him say that, and he's definitely talking about the Bad Boys, and he's talking about Lambeer, because I've heard that complaint and debated that with numerous guys and say, I don't know, Climax, Michigan, and in the one bar in town, and people, and that's a known complaint. So I just wanted to voice that in, is that because of Lambeer being seen as a dirty player and a flopper on fouling, the whole team got characterized as that. The whole Bad Boys era got characterized as that.
Thanks to Breeshin for that, reacting to my discussion about the Jim Harbaugh comments about the rivalry and why he brought the Pistons into it the other day. So also had some comments from listener Jason through the text line too. He was wondering, what's the jersey to buy for Detroit sports right now? You can break it down for the four major sports teams. I would think obviously Stafford. If you're a Lions fan, maybe Golden Tate. Or maybe you like the young guys. Maybe you're a Kenny Galladay, Kerryon Johnson guy. The Detroit Red Wings, maybe you're looking at Dylan Larkin. And for the Pistons, obviously Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond being the more traditional picks. Maybe Blake Griffin especially if you're buying today with the 50-point game that he's coming off of. But maybe you like the young guys. Maybe Bruce Brown's a choice you might pick out of the Pistons there. What about Reggie Jackson? I thought about this as I was thinking about the question. Do you see a lot of Reggie Jackson jerseys? Do you have someone in your life who's a big Reggie Jackson fan? We know that there are a lot of people who are all the way out on Reggie Jackson. We know that he's not maybe the most popular player for the casual Detroit sports fan. Maybe the Pistons fans understand him and like him a little bit more than the non-Pistons fans, or maybe the bandwagon fans, so to speak. But what do you think? Let us know on the text line or the voicemail line at 810-666-1546. But anyway, enjoy the game tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. We will have a Friday podcast this week because there is the Thursday game. We'll have something to react to. I'll probably have some audio from the locker rooms before or after the game as well. We don't want to bury it down and bog you down with some of those audio, but I think we got it. And it's pretty good stuff, so I want you guys to enjoy that too. Let me know what you think about that. If you want to hear more sound bites, less sound bites, quicker ones, longer ones, all the pregame interviews that are sometimes 12 or 15 minutes with Dwayne Casey, from questions from all sorts of visiting home media, that kind of stuff, visiting media as well. So let me know what you think. But anyway, this is your host, Matt Schoch of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.